Good morning. It's Thursday again. This Thursday is... Yes, this Thursday is the aftermath of the disgusting display of terrorism that happened yesterday in D.C. I was surprised how many people were surprised. I'm not surprised by anything that that particular segment of our society does. My contention is that they have been doing it for a long time. And by the way, this is your irate commentator, Mondo Homunculero. Welcome to my podcast for Thursday, January 7th, 2021. Era Vulgaris. I don't use CE. Okay, so it's the current era. No, I use Era Vulgaris. And what I tell you is light and extension in hell. We're going to return to an old divination technique that I found a lot of fun using. This comes from These Truths, a book by Jill Lepore. Out of a chapter called Efficiency in the Masses. Now what we do in this is we flip through the book, and then put our finger on a page. And my finger landed this morning on page 399 at the start of a paragraph. Wilson was at first met with outpourings of affection and hope. Crowds lined the streets of Paris to greet him as the God of Peace. This welcome did not do much to diminish his sense of mission. Lippmann reported, "The hotels were choked with delegations representing and pretending to represent, hoping to represent, every group of people in the world. Wilson was especially eagerly received by delegates from stateless and colonized societies, Egyptians, Indians, Chinese, Koreans, Arabs, Jews, Armenians, Kurds, a young Ho Chi Minh, the future leader of North Vietnam, then living in Paris, presented world leaders at Versailles with a petition titled Demands of the Vietnamese People." Interesting. Last night I was watching the aftermath of the carnage of yesterday's events at the Capitol and was watching the votes and particularly interested in the objections that the Christian fascists were making in both the House and the Senate. And unfortunately, the results of the terrorist activity, the attempted takeover and desecration of the Capitol by right-wing Trump suckers. And that's right, I'm tired of being nice to these guys and calling them supporters. They're suckers for Trump. They suck up to his bullshit. As one friend of mine pointed out, hey, these people have the same access to information that the rest of us have. And they chose the path they've gone on. I add to that by saying they've been propagandized since they were children. And a lot of these folks that I saw were young. They're in their 20s, maybe early 30s, maybe some even younger. I saw women there supporting this activity in some of the videos that I saw. course, I didn't see any long stream videos that, you know, lasted for hours and hours, or I didn't see that. However, it was reported a couple of times there was going to be 20,000 there. Then it was later reported there was more like 40 or 50,000 storming the Capitol. And now a lot of media seem to be outraged because the Capitol Police were undermanned when it happened. The guard wasn't there, even though the guard had been called up. And so what was the aftermath? Well, a lot of things got destroyed. Four people got killed, including a woman who was shot by police. So bad things happened. There was violence. People died. I kind of contrasted that in my mind to what happened during the Vietnam War in Ohio. I always remember the song that Neil Young wrote for Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young called Four Dead in Ohio. That was a day of infamy as well on the other end of the spectrum. Peaceful protesters getting shot by the National Guard. Four died. So this is a contrast to those who have embraced the authoritarian pseudo-fascist. I say pseudo because these people are not well-versed in fascism, no doubt, most of them. But pseudo-fascist ideologues. These people have embraced the nonsense. They liked it when their strongman, who really is a fucking lily-livered, small-peckered, peanut-bagged fat boy who's really a pencil neck as their president, their leader, their Führer, their authoritarian pig boy, who's weak. As far as those type of leaders go, he's not a strong man. He's an asshole. And so, yes, I have to agree with my friend who called them out. So it was on this Facebook feed where this other friend of mine, he was very outraged by everything. And I don't blame him. I feel the same way. Though not as extreme, because I expected something along these lines. And this guy comes on who's obviously a friend of my friend who... they probably have a nice, friendly relationship, personal relationship. Go to this guy's profile page, and the son of a bitch has got a fucking Harley Davidson on the page. And he makes a comment like, well, you know, I voted for Trump. 48% of us voted for Trump. As though that legitimizes anything. And my friend, you know, was kind of, in a way, apologetic and, you know, acknowledged him, and I blocked him because I don't want to know people like this. I don't even want to troll them because it's just a waste of my good energy. Interestingly enough, it ended in this bibliomancy with Ho Chi Minh and the Vietnamese people. That's this morning. Last night I ate Vietnamese. Yeah, I ate Vietnamese food last night. I really liked it. It was a good dinner. Other thing is, too, is that there's this charade. You know, when Woodrow Wilson was a fucking racist scumbag. He was a fucking racist scumbag. And so him going to Paris in 1919 or 1920 to try to herald in the League of Nations, which is the forerunner. Not really the forerunner of the United Nations. And, you know, being heralded as this guy was going to help unify the entire world under the banner of peace because of the aegis of the slogan, the war to end all wars, the great war, as it were, as it wasn't. Poignant, in my opinion, because... now we have another Democrat coming in who is a middle-of-the-road motherfucker. Okay, so people don't like Biden. I think the problem that I have, and I don't like Biden that much either. Never did. I don't like the centrist point of view. I'm really much further to the left. I mean, what I consider to be the left, which is, no, not liberal Democrat. No, I'm a democratic socialist these days, which is a little bit more conservative position for me. It brought back a lot of memories. I've had a lot of memories over the past 2 years about my activist history, which has been off and on. I got involved in activism in 1970 when I was a junior in high school. I met up with a couple of people who knew a couple of people, one of which was Morris Starsky, who was a socialist, a Marxist professor at Arizona State at the time, who was getting a lot of flack because he was teaching the politics of Marxism, not Soviet-style Leninism, Stalinism, but Marxism. He was also an advocate of Saul Alinsky, who wrote a lot of the great stuff about activism and organizing. So at that point, being an impressionable youngster and having come from an interesting history, I'll make this short because it is a long story that doesn't need all the details reported to you. I joined a group called the Student Mobilization Committee, which was a junior arm of the SDS, the Students for a Democratic Society. And, you know, we were all on the heels of the 1968 Chicago Convention, the Chicago 7, you know, the Yippie movement with Abby Hoffman, who I like a lot better than Jerry Rubin. Jerry Rubin was fun, but he sold out. Abby never did. Abby was in hiding for most of his life after that time. My friend, who is now a doctor, a fairly prominent doctor in upstate New York, handed out a leaflet that was, he was urged to mimeograph in that book. I forget what the book was. It was either America or one of the other books that Abby and Jerry wrote. It was Fuck God. It was that leaflet. He handed it out and got kicked out of school. It was really funny. Now, the high school where we went to wasn't this big conservative Christian-type public school. Not at all, no. It was a very wide open. We got a very well-rounded education at that high school. A lot of rock stars came out of that school, went to that school. A lot of people who went on to have what, in our society, we deem as successful lives and careers. But that introduced me. Now, as a youngster in grade school, I was enamored with the swastika. Now, I can try to make correspondences and explain that as, well, it's really the sun wheel. It consists of the two Soelu runes, which were used by the SS and their uniforms. But this was made into the sun cross or the sun wheel. The swastika was, and was adopted by Nazis, and I was attracted to the militarism and the discipline and those types of things. And a teacher saw one of my notebooks and gave me seven kinds of shit, and she was an old school Christian bitch. However, she was like definitely what we would call today in some ideology Antifa, or Antifa, as I like to call them. She was anti-fascist, and she said, are you a Nazi? Are you a fascist? Do you know what this all means? Do you know what they did? Well, I didn't really know about the Holocaust. I didn't really know what Hitler had done. I was attracted on a basic level to Hitler's style, to his oratory. So, a few years later, and I'm going to jump all the way through high school after this. A few years later, I got this book out of the school library, given to me by the librarian, who really liked me and knew I was an avid reader. She even gave me The Idols of the King to read by Tennyson. And The Mort d'Arthur, I forget, I can't remember the author of that at this point. Anyway, she gave me all these great classics to read, and I read them. And I picked out a book called Men of Iron, and it was about all these dictators. Now, it was clearly from an anti-communist viewpoint, so an anti-fascist viewpoint. It was like this pro-American rah-rah. It was some pretty accurate reporting. It talked about Stalin. It talked about Mao. It talked about Hitler. It talked about some other leaders, some despotic authoritarian leaders. And that the beauty of it was exposed to be of the cruelty, the genocide, all that type of behaviors and historical tragedy that these type of leaders caused and fostered. That was an eye-opener. And so that prepared me. When I went to high school, I took a course as a freshman called World History. That woke me up because it was a good book. It was a great lecturer who presented things from both sides of the coin. You couldn't tell whether he was a Marxist or a fascist or whether he was a middle-of-the-road Democrat or a Republican. You couldn't tell. He was very, very objective. He wasn't objective. Nobody really is, in my opinion, but he was about as objective from an educational standpoint, I think, as you might be able to get. Love that. I love that teacher. Robert Golay was his name. He was a great teacher, and I later took Latin American history from him when I learned about and didn't really realize the adventures that the rest of the world had made in Latin America. It opened my eyes because a lot of people gave interesting papers and reports. Oh, great talks. Everybody gave a lecture on a topic that we were assigned. I got Juscelino Kubitschek, who was a Brazilian-style dictator who was basically kind of a Marxist. However, the big thing in that class for me was exposing the United Fruit Company and their adventures in Central America and part of South America. And I began to see the tyranny that this country, the United States, who people are greatly enamored of, the tyranny that we imposed on the world through our business state and the military. Later, as Eisenhower caused to be called the military-industrial complex. This shifted me far to the left. So much so that by the time I got involved in the SMC and the SDS with my other friends, and by the way, the person who introduced this to me, we went to rallies, we went to demonstrations, we hung out with Morris Starsky, who was that professor at ASU I was talking about. It was so cool to be in there. I felt like a part of something, and my girlfriend at the time was hanging out with us, and she was a very, very beautiful, smart woman. Just wonderful, wonderful. It was great to have been in her life. Anyway, everything wound up with us going to Earth Day in 1970. That was a beautiful thing. And at that point, I became interested in the environment and the politics of environmentalism. My friend became a yippie. He self-anointed himself as a yippie, went to Washington, D.C. for the big rally. I think that was in 70 or 71. We all wished him well, and he went on his way. And he's one of the first people to get arrested and put in the fenced-in cage there. Later became a roommate. What a great friend he was. I really love that guy. We're friends today because of social media. I love that guy. He's great. Here's to you. I'll give his initials JB. Here's to you, my friend. So the point this morning is that at that point I got, well, the first point, which comes out from this bibliomancy, is that I became anti-Vietnam War. And I had been a pretty rabid anti-communist. However, I didn't understand communism. I didn't understand how communism got perverted into authoritarianism. Because all things, well, communism is bad because it's a dictatorship type of state. Not always. There have been a couple that have done fairly well. Sometimes under an authoritarian. I mean, Ho Chi Minh eventually helped free the Vietnamese people and unite their country, finally. And Vietnam has made a lot of jumps in prosperity, even though we killed maybe 2 million of their people and maimed and caused birth defects and did all kinds of heinous things from our bombing and Agent Orange spraying over there. Just horrible what we did. It's amazing that they would even let any Americans back in that country after what was done. And I, at that time, I saw what happened to people. You know, all over the place. A lot of us were deeply affected. We protested. We wanted the war to be over. And then you had Tricky Dick come in and, you know, promised to get us out. And it took him about 4 years, actually. Well, 6 years to get us the hell out of there. And by that time, he resigned. And he should have resigned. He should have, actually. Ford made one big mistake, and that was pardoning Nixon. Shouldn't have pardoned him. The son of a bitch should have went to jail and died there. Nixon was a piece of shit. He did some good things. He created the EPA, for one. I think that was the best thing that he did. And then all this shit blaming the Chinese, you know, for what's happened economically. Well, Nixon and Kissinger, the open door policy. You can study up on that if you want. I don't have a well-educated opinion on it, so I won't talk about it. So Nixon got rid of himself. Now here we are in the modern day orange pig, who in my opinion is actually much worse than Nixon. Nixon was bad. This guy is very, very bad. He is a criminal. He has always been a criminal. The people he attracts have, to some extent, some of them, not all of them, a criminal mentality. In other podcasts, I've gone over what I think my opinion and my observation is of the different mentalities of Trump supporters. And in the work that I do in my day job, I talk to Trump supporters all the time. Now, I don't go into deep interviews and quizzes with them, so let me be clear on that. I do talk to them. They do tell me, I've had them tell me, I think Trump, 2 years ago, the thing I was hearing all the time, now, if we just let Mr. Trump straighten everything out, you know, meaning the trade problems that we have, you know, I think Trump can really, these people really think, really bought that whole bullshit that Trump spewed. Now, in the company I worked for, I had done business with Trump's companies, and they were unscrupulous, they were chiselers, and they had shitty credit, very shitty credit, like 38 out of 100 on an Experian scale. So I'm not a fan. I'm not a Trump fan at all. I never have been. Except I read that book, The Art of the Deal, back in 1983 or 82. I really liked the book, and I liked some of the things that he did, using other people's money to get projects financed and done. I thought that was pretty cool. It was an old strategy that other people had used. And it turns out, you know, the guy is not really that successful. And we used to argue this with people. Oh, no, he's got over 500 businesses. A lot of them are successful. Then why is the son of a bitch $1 billion in debt? Well, it's okay for him to be in debt because he leverages it. No, I'm sick of that business logic. That's the fail of capitalism. That's one of the huge fails. You know, and because he was such a great businessman and ran his company personally, that made him even better. That made him the guy to run the country. I alone, lest we forget, I alone can fix this. He didn't fix anything. He fucked everything up, which I knew that he would, which a lot of us knew that he would. I'm not anybody special. There were millions of us that knew that this son of a bitch was a no-good, petty tyrant piece of shit. And that's what he is. I wanted to call him a bastard, but there's a lot of good people who are bastards. He's not a good person. So, you know, there are people who might listen to this, or Trump supporters. I'm sorry for you, because, you know, you're in his camp if you bought into his bullshit. his financial stuff is bullshit. That tax cut was bad for me. It was bad for a lot of people. And now, middle-class Americans are going to see their taxes go up over the next 5 years, unless this new administration changes that. I'm hoping that can happen. I don't have a lot of hope about all this. I'll tell you why. Number one, I think hope is a joke anyway. Number two, there's too much centrism. There's going to be a lot of blockage for any progressive policies. The end goal is for the workers to own the means of production. We're way far away from that. You know, I heard a great talk the other day by one of my favorite economists, Michael Hudson. He's got some weird ideas, I think, but maybe some of those weird ideas aren't so weird. He is a Marxist economist. He was employed at Wall Street by some of the big banks. And now he does a lot of work in China looking at their economy. Because, let's face it, you can hate communist China all you want. It's an authoritarian state which has manipulated itself with its currency and its trading into a type of capitalism that's very competitive and attractive to a lot of other countries in the world. We have to face that fact. China's really not interested in expanding their military that much, only as a force of coercion and intimidation, it seems. So the real war, if you want to call it that, is between the United States and China economically. That's the real war. Even though China has a horrible human rights record, I mean, look what they've done to the Uyghurs. And look what they've done to the protests. Look at the Tiananmen Square. I mean, look what they've done. It's awful, okay? It's awful. These guys are murderers. The leadership is murderers. So I can't support China because of that. I mean, as a person who believes in human rights and that those should be universal in the world, I think there are some human rights that are universal. I'm not going to go into that. There's plenty of information about that. So people like this orange bastard, or son of a bitch, or piece of shit, whatever you want to call him, they thought this guy was going to confront the rest of the world one-on-one, one-by-one, and straighten things out. I alone can fix this. Okay, so it looks like on the surface he did a pretty good job with China. He really didn't. He and his vile offspring continued to work deals, have products made in China and exported to here for sale. So he really didn't do all that much except blow his horn. He sucked up the Korean dictator. I don't even want to say his name. He sucked up to Erdogan, or whatever the fuck the Turkish president's name is, who's a real despot. He's Bibi's buddy. Bibi's a fucking extreme Zionist piece of shit. Really more of a fascist, than anything. He sucked up to all the wrong people, unilaterally. And it made him look like an idiot on a diplomatic level. Now, a lot of people admired that because a lot of people still have that isolationist attitude that America alone goes it alone. America's number one. America's the greatest country in the world. All this phony nationalism bullshit that they don't realize is phony. They're deluded. It's just awful. There's so much delusion and stupidity. And I don't think it's 48% of us. I think it's probably more like in the 30 percentile range, which is very alarming as well. Because if you think 30%, let's say, roughly of 300 million is 90 million people. Let's cut that a little bit down to 70 or 80. That's pretty bad. We got a lot of deluded motherfuckers. And amongst the Trump supporters, there's all those people that are strictly in it for the money. They're in it for the gains. Because we've gone from an industrial society to a financial society. And that's what was brought out in Michael Hudson's talk that I listened to, which was fairly recent. And that's the problem. The workers in this country the blue-collar people, they want to return to that industrial society. And that was the industrial business model. And that was what Trump was pushing, but he didn't do anything for it. He didn't do any real increases in that area. No, he didn't. The rich capitalist countries got richer. The poor got poorer. The middle class stayed pretty much static. Had a little growth in income. Okay. Which is good. That's good that we had. We had a little wage growth, which was good. We didn't have the 5 to 10% that we need. We didn't have real big advances in the GDP. We had that one big push after the first wave of the pandemic, but that was all because of the stimulus money, so it was not really an increase in GDP. So this whole Trump thing was a facade that people bought into, the delusion of the big pack of lies. It wasn't just the big lie. Well, the big lie is I alone can fix this. It was a pack of lies. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. Blah, blah, blah. I'm going to fix it. No, he fucked it up. And these people wanted him to stay in control because they wanted a father figure. They wanted this big daddy to run the fucking show. Well, the guy doesn't run the show. The guy's an asshole. He didn't put together a very good team, which is the key to doing that job, which I think that whole system needs revamp. I think, you know, presidents should be more like figureheads. I think we need to abolish the Senate. You know, although the Senate, to us, all the old mainstreamers, must have looked good yesterday, you know, last night, and knew what they did. 93 to, what was it, 6 was the vote on Biden. The House was good also. I think that, you know, that looks good. It's not good. Why is it not good? It's not good because what's going to happen now? How are we going to get out of this morass that we are in? The economic morass. You know, there are infrastructure bills that if they can pass those, that's going to be a ticket out of here. One of the parts of the ticket out of here. If they can get the stimulus checks out until the vaccine gets widely disseminated, which is really the main thrust right now, it all remains to be seen. I think the vaccine's going to get out. I think the stimulus checks are going to come, like the major pundits are saying, and they should come. And they should continue to come until such a time as the economy can revitalize. And I don't think that's going to happen until we get a major infrastructure bill to at least partially reindustrialize our country and get away from this financialization model, which only benefits, another great Michael Hudson point, he's talking about the 5% now, which makes more sense to me than the 1%. It makes a lot more sense, the 5%. The financialization model enriches the 5% and fucks the 95%, basically. And that's because it's based on financialization and not on industrialization, which is a model that we've been in, you know, that we wanted to stay in. A lot of the workers wanted to stay in, and now has faded away because of all the outsourcing. Outsource this, send all the labor overseas, cut the cost, make money on your shares. Well, when 10% of the people own 85% of the shares, that doesn't work too well because there's no trickle down, because those people are not creating companies that create jobs, industrial jobs, union-style jobs. It's all service sector. And we saw how that harmed us in this pandemic economic collapse, which I believe we're still in, and it may get worse. Probably going to get worse. I hope not. I hope I'm totally wrong. The business that I work in has experienced a huge boon. Despite, they've had great thinking when it comes to the pandemic. Great thinking. And now, they have plans for a great expansion, which if the economy shrinks, that expansion probably won't happen. I'm hoping that I'm wrong. So that's enough out of me for right now. That's my rant for this Thursday. A little bit more settled down and rational than usual. I deplore, as usual, the quasi-fascists that are out there. I don't know that most of you know what you're actually believing in. because you're into the belief of it, not the thinking of it. The belief creates the thinking. The thinking is wrong, and that results in some bad behavior by a lot of people. So what I think we need, I mean, incarcerating these people gets them out of our way for a while, but what do? They congregate in the incarceration atmosphere, and their ideology gets worse. It gets more intense. So I think they need to get deprogrammed. I think they need to get exposed to reality. I'll leave that to another podcast as we're headed towards the weekend here. I want to wish everyone well. Stay safe. Don't gather up. Give each other love and kindness as much as you can. And, take care of yourselves, please. I hope you do well.